As we continue our series through John's Gospel, which we only just started last week, and in God's providence, this beginning prologue fits right into what much of Christendom calls the Advent season. John chapter 1, I'll be reading once again the entirety of the prologue, which is verses 1 through 18, though this morning we're just going to focus on verses 4 and 5. We're going to take a while. Let's give careful attention to the reading of his most holy and infallible word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Now, as we've moved into this building, one of the things that we have been trying to do is figure out the lighting. And maybe when you have moved into a new home, you try to figure out what switch goes where. What does this switch do? Oh, that light fixture over here. This switch doesn't seem to do anything. And sometimes you discover what that switch does long after you've moved in. And maybe there are still some switches you don't know what they do. But even here in this building, we're still trying to figure all that out. In fact, certain light fixtures and sources of light we're trying to change, because most of us just don't like fluorescent lights. But what's the purpose of light? Light is there to help us see. Well, John tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is there to help us see. Because he's the light, and Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world." Another recurring theme throughout much of the gospel, actually. But we focus here in John's introduction. Last week, we looked at the Word who was in the beginning, the Word who was with God, that is in close proximity, in intimate relation, if you will. But not only did we see that there's a distinction because the Word was with God, but we also saw that the Word was God. Well, John further expands on this, and we're really still in this section of the prologue, that is verses 1 through 5, that primarily deals really with creation. But of course, that has to spill over into redemption. And it's a wonderful, masterful piece. In fact, the prologue, as an introduction here in verses 1 through 18, it is probably the longest and most theologically elaborate and rich introductions that we find in any of the books of the Bible. It is filled with so many of the various themes that are found in this gospel. And so as we make our way through the prologue, and then afterward, the rest of the gospel, I hope that all of us will see these various themes come out again and again. This is about Christ. It's about exalting his name. And even as we saw last week in chapter 20, verse 31, it is ultimately written so that you may believe that he is the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you would have eternal life, which is one of the themes today. So what I hope to show this morning is simply this: Christ as the life and light of men is more than able to overcome the power of sin in your life. Christ as the Lord and light, Christ as the life and light of men is more than able to overcome the power of sin in your life. We're going to look at this under two headings. First of all, life and light. And then secondly, light and darkness. Some may be wondering, why not life, light, and darkness? Three headings. Just trying to keep them grouped together. So first of all, life and light. Look now at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him. Now you may recall, even as we were looking at verse 3, verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. And I emphasize a point there that the pronoun is not incorrectly translated he, but the word that's used is more than that. It's this one. But here in verse 4, it is him. It's not as emphatic there, but it is in him. And that's even how the clause begins. So the ESV gets this right on numerous fronts. In him was life. Him is clearly referring to the word who is just mentioned. So when we see life here being described in verses 4 and 5, it is still the word that is the subject of the conversation that John is giving. But notice also that it is life in him, not life through him. Now, from a theological perspective, it is true that life comes through Jesus Christ. But John is trying to emphasize the fact that all of life is in him. That preposition was purposely chosen here. It is not merely through him that Christ is just somehow an instrument. He is the source of it all. In him was life. Now, life, as I mentioned, is a theme that occurs throughout John's gospel. And in fact, the particular Greek word that is used here for life occurs 36 times in the gospel. So it's rather important. Now, the English word life occurs more. That's because there are other words that are used. But this particular word is used 36 times in the gospel. So that averages to more than once a chapter. Pay attention to when you see the word life. Now, commentators actually differ as to what John is talking about here. Some think that John is referring to creation, given what we saw in verses 1 through 3. Others see it as being a reference to spiritual life. Well, I think the context does seem to favor creation as being the idea here. But even as we've seen, in multiple contexts and other circumstances and situations, it is not so easy to separate creation from redemption. In fact, creation is a type of redemption. And so what John is doing is he's setting the stage with creation to help us understand redemption. As the Word has life in him for the creation of all things, he certainly has all life in him for the redemption of all things for which he was sent. In him was life. In Christ, As J.C. Ryle put it in his commentary, he is the source, the fountain, the origin, and the cause of life. Whether we are talking physical life or spiritual life, it is all him. Because after all, when we saw in verse 3, through him all things were made. So of course all life comes in him. It also reminds us, because as we live in this culture, in this world, how many non-Christians say the Christian life is boring? All we do is have a bunch of rules and just take all the fun out of life. But the reality is, in Christ is where true life is found. No one is really living apart from Christ. And quite honestly, and to put it bluntly, those who are walking around living life to the fullest, as they put it, are really just walking dead men. In him is life. There can be nothing more exciting than that. But here's the thing. John continues, and the life was the light of men. Now, you may recall when we were looking at verse 1 last week, the word was God, that the word God in that particular clause did not have the article, the. That's purposeful. Here, the ESV gets it right. The article is in front of, in this clause, both life and light. The life was the light. And so John's not really talking about something different. That which is life, all of life is in the Word, in Christ, but he's also light. And what does light do? It shines. Life is now described as light. And this, of course, is another major theme in John. The word, this particular word, it's where, by the way, we get our words like photon. But this word in particular comes in John's gospel 23 times. So it too is amazing. That's just about once a chapter. A major theme. The article, as I mentioned, is there, the definite article, indicating something particular in mind. He's extending the reality that God is speaking here of the Word. This is still Christ, the life. Not just life in the abstract. The life is the light. Having two words that sound so similar in their vowels can sometimes make you twist your tongue. The life was the light. Light as life. It's both of these, light and life. It's in all religion. These are symbolic in just about every religion. As before, light brings us back to creation. Remember God's first recorded words, "Let there be light." And there was light. Christ himself will later say, "I am the light of the world." One of his many I am statements. But he, that is this light, as you notice, the life was the light of men. This life was not life in the abstract or just out there. He was the light of men. And notice, that's the word that's used here, the light of men, that is mankind. It's not for other creatures. And even Wednesday night when we were talking about the spiritual house, we were reminded that Christ did not die for this building. He died for you. He is the light to men. Not our dogs and cats or our fish. He did not die for them. He died for you. He's a light for you. He lights the way for you. And this, of course, is connected to being the Word, which is the ultimate revelation of God. Light, like the spoken Word, reveals. Light clarifies, illumines, brings out, guides. Maybe some of you have had fun with dimmers in your house. And this is not an invitation to start doing it willy-nilly. But sometimes when it's really dark in the house and you start to put the light on the lowest setting and you just slowly up it and you start to make things out. Shapes at first. But the colors don't come in yet. You bring it up a little bit more and then things start to get a little clearer. And then finally, when you bring it to full brilliance of what's there, you can make out all the details far better. You see, that's what light does. And Christ as the light brings into clarity all things. That's what Christ as the light does. He brings to clarity all things. It is in Christ that this world can make any sense. You want to know your purpose in life? Look to Christ. Now that sounds simplistic, and I realize it can be a bit more complicated than that. But the reality is, if we just simply rest in Christ, look to Him, let Him shine the way for us. He's the light of men. That's a statement of fact which you and I must believe, even though we sometimes have trouble putting it into practice. The life was the light of men. And this is why you really can't separate, even as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, you can't separate the spiritual from John's purpose. It's how we live here on earth. It's more than spiritual, certainly not less than it. He was life, and the life was the light of men. Well, this brings us then to our second point, light and darkness. Look now at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, the light shines. If you just take those three English words, the light shines. That's what we would call a tautology. It's an obvious truism because that's what light does. It shines. And so you think about this and you think, well, why does John need to tell us that light shines? And he also tells us that light shines in the darkness. Well, obviously, there's a purpose here. And sometimes when we see things in the Bible that are so obvious, we just miss it. That happens so often in the book of Proverbs. But the light shines in the darkness. And as obvious as that is, this theme is just so important. Christ is always set before us to help overcome the darkness. Christ overcomes. He shines. The light, the life, the Word shines in all His brilliance and in all His glory. How could it be otherwise? Because it's really the glory of the Lord that is shining. So of course He's the light. Again, Genesis 1, let there be light. So John is bringing creation and connecting creation to Christ's work of redemption. You really cannot separate the two. As a sort of side proof of that, when we think about the fourth commandment, the Sabbath, in Exodus chapter 20, the reason given for the Sabbath is because the Lord made heaven and earth in 6 days and rested the seventh. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the reason given for the Sabbath was the redemption out of Egypt. Creation and redemption are intertwined. So it is here. When we look to Jesus Christ, it's not just Christ as the creator, but also the redeemer, the creator of new life. He is the light. Let there be light in Genesis 1, and He comes and is the light in our redemption. That's enough by itself to just meditate on all afternoon. But it's light in the darkness. Now, the word for darkness, which is also another big theme, this word actually only occurs 8 times in the gospel. But it is still, as I mentioned, a key theme. But the light shines in the darkness. Now, if we think back to Genesis chapter 1, let there be light. But just before that, darkness was over the face of the deep. Chapter 1, verse 2 of Genesis. Darkness. Let there be light, and there was light. The darkness could not prevent the light at creation. How much more the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light, will not be overcome by the sin and darkness of the kingdom of this world. It shines in the darkness. It is Christ who shines through the darkness of sin and corruption in this world. And not just in this world, but brothers and sisters, in your heart. Now, part of that does mean what light does is expose. It overcomes, but it exposes. And we like the fact that light overcomes darkness, that Christ overcomes sin. But what we fail to understand sometimes is that in the process of that, your sin is exposed. It's laid bare, and sometimes that's painful. Especially when you realize you may have been hurting other people without even realizing it. Especially recognizing that you've sinned against Almighty God. And that you may have to deal with the consequences. But you know what? Even in the consequences, even in the judgments, the temporal judgments, if you will, of the effects of sin in our lives, Christ overcomes that as well. He shines in the darkness. He's not next to the darkness. He overcomes it. See, at creation, God separated the light from the dark. He had day and night. But in Christ, darkness is overcome. So we think of the wonder of creation, and we think, wow, that's incredible. How much more Christ? The darkness has not overcome it. Now, we know in situations, if there's not enough life, not enough light, there's a sense in which darkness kind of wins out. That's why sometimes when we're driving alone on a road, we'll put our brights on so that there's more light. And then we get kind of annoyed when the person coming the other way forgets to turn his brights off. But when there's not enough light, darkness seems to overcome. That's why when we light up a room like this size, which is well lit, by the way, if it's nighttime, we're not going to fill this entire room with a candle. It'll help. But if we're going to read, we're going to need all the lights we can get. If we're going to overcome sin, we're going to need the light of Christ in our hearts. That's what we need. And he is the light of men. He is the one who overcomes the darkness in our hearts. You see, these aren't just theological truths about Christ. They are practical for our lives. Once again, it's like what we mentioned last week when we began looking at John's gospel. Simple enough for a mouse to wade in, but deep enough for an elephant to drown. I don't know who first said it. Lots of people have said it throughout church history. But how true it is. You see, the practical side of this is that Christ is the answer to overcome the darkness in your heart. That's the simplicity of it. But it's the Word, the life, the light, who was God, who was with God. He was there in the beginning. He created all things. That's where the elephant drowns. Who can make sense of all of this? But you know what? We don't have to make sense of all of it. We simply need to believe it. And that's all that it is. And we come back to the mouse waiting again. Simply believe. Trust in him, the one who overcomes the darkness. Christ shines in the darkness, not as a simple little candle, but with the brightness that surpasses a myriad of suns. That's the glory he holds. The darkness does not overcome it. Even in creation, darkness separated from day and night. That's why as we move in this prologue, John is moving from creation to recreation. So that spiritual darkness is overcome by the light. And knowing that truth, that the light shines in the darkness, is told to you so that you may believe on him and have eternal life. You see, you can't disconnect all these titles, descriptors of Christ. They're all intimately intertwined. The Word, the life, the light that shines in the darkness. Darkness at creation, that must have been thick. But the darkness of the kingdom of sin is so much worse. What could possibly overcome it? Thanks be to God, the light that is the life, that is the Word, who is God. How great sin must be that it took the light of men to overcome it. That it took the second person of the Trinity to come down, taking to himself a true body and reasonable soul, to be born in order that the darkness in our hearts would be overcome. How great sin must be. How great that darkness must be. But the beauty is, the darkness has not overcome the light. Yes, the darkness is bad. Can't say it enough. Can't express it enough. It's even worse than I could possibly describe. But how much greater is Christ that overcomes the darkness? We can't express the greatness of the one who overcomes the darkness. But we can believe in him. We can trust in him. The one sent to earth. The one to whom much of Christendom focuses on this week. Who was born and placed in a manger, who is the light of men. That's the one we proclaim. That's the one we preach. That's the one for whom we live. And he's overcome the darkness. Are you struggling with darkness in your own heart today? Do you not know Jesus Christ? Then I would call upon you to heed these words of John and also to 20:31. These things are written so that you may believe on him, and by believing have eternal life. You can have eternal life because he is the life, who is the light of men. How could it be anything but eternal? And it is also a light that overcomes the darkness in our hearts. Are you struggling with sin? Burdened? Chained? By its effects? Christ overcomes. Look to him, the light of the world, the light of men. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's words of assurance. Believe on him. The darkness will never overcome that. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and God in heaven, we do give you thanks for your word and what it reminds us of, how the darkness will not overcome the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray that that truth would instill within us confidence, but also a heart of praise and worship. Lord, we recognize that Christ Jesus as the light will expose our sin, but oh, how thankful that even though it's exposed, it's not left there. It is overcome. And so, Lord, every day, overcome the darkness that remains within us. Overcome the darkness that is in this world. And let the Lord Jesus Christ's light shine that men would be saved. We pray this in his name. Amen.